This is Andy Rainey, pastor of Blue Ash Community Church, and on this week's podcast, we continue our series, Stories. This week, we look at grumbling. To listen to more podcasts like these, simply subscribe to our iTunes or head to our website, www.blueashcc.com. Certainly covet your prayers. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our series, Stories. We've been looking at different stories in the Bible, particularly as they relate to Jesus. Either he was in the story or he told the story. This morning we're going to look at one of the stories that Jesus told. They call them parables in the Bible, which is just a metaphor for a truth. And so if you've missed any of them, I really encourage you to go back and listen to them. Because what we've been doing is going, what did it mean in that culture? And what does that now mean to us? How does that still relate? And there's something powerful about a well-told story. I'm going to guess in a couple of weeks when we come back and tell stories about Haiti, there's going to be something in you that will get excited about the experience they had, because there's something about stories that challenges us where we believe or what we think, or maybe even gives us a passion for something we never even knew we had. So this team will come back, and there'll be somebody that's going to be very passionate about the orphan child. There's no question about it. I know one of my particular trips I went to, I've never felt like I'm called to be a missionary, but I knew I was called to make an impact, to make a difference in all the orphans, not just globally, but even locally. So this morning, we're going to look at a story that really rubs up against everything we stand for as a culture. This story we're going to look at actually challenges me. When I read this story, when I think about this story, it pushes me into a corner. And what it has me do is look myself in the eye in this mirror, and I see how entitled I think I am. I see how selfish I am in my life. And I don't like what I see. And we all kind of do this, and maybe we even say things like, you know what, I've earned this, or what they've got, it's not fair. I should be the one that, and we fill in the blank. So this morning, I think we're gonna push a little bit against some of that for all of us, but we're all gonna have this opportunity to look ourselves and say, honestly, where am I in this? Am I kind of entitled? Do I feel like I'm owed something? Do we carry resentment? Because some of us may have walked in here this morning. We have this resentment. Maybe it's from an employer, maybe it's from a teacher, maybe it's from a coach, maybe it's from a friend, it's a relative, it's a spouse, it's an ex-spouse. But we feel like, man, I got this resentment, I'm entitled, I was owed something. Maybe you woke up this morning, you woke up and everything was, it's nice outside, but your outlook on life really isn't about what you have, it's about what you don't have. And so you compare yourselves with others. And it's like, boy, if I had what they had, I'd be much more joy-filled or I'd be much happier. And I wish I could tell you honestly that I've never experienced any of these feelings or had any of these thoughts, but the reality is I do. I have. And when I do have these, when I'm living there too long, I'm often reminded of the story we're going to look at this morning that Jesus tells. So if you're following along, if you've got a Bible app, you can go ahead and open that up on your phones or your tablets. We're going to be looking, if you have a Bible with you, you can go to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books of the New Testament that simply tell the story of Jesus' life. And we're going to be looking at a story that Jesus told through the lens of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to start. And this is what it says. The verses will be on the screen here. For the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus speaking, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. So we see from the very beginning, Jesus is telling a story that has to do with what heaven is like. Let me illustrate to you, Jesus is saying, here's what heaven is like. And he starts to lay this out. So far, this story is really easy to follow. This landowner is going out to look for people to work in his vineyard. He's going to pay them a denarius, which is a day's wage. So whatever is common in that time is what they would get paid for good, hard, honest work. And the story continues the next couple of verses. It says, about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. And so they went. So we don't know what time that was when the first men were hired, but what we do know is it was early. It was really early, so they've been working at least a couple of hours. At 9 in the morning, this worker, this vineyard owner goes out and he finds more workers, and he's going to pay them. He didn't say a denarius, he just says whatever is right. They agree to, hey, that sounds fair, you seem like an honest man, we'll go work for you. And so far, if we're thinking, well, what's heaven like? Well, it sounds like a lot of work so far. I mean, that's what I hear, like, man, I'm going to work really hard when I get to heaven. But the story continues. He went out again, the landowner, about noon, and then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day? How long? Doing nothing. What are you guys doing here, basically? Why don't you go work in my vineyard?" So we see that the landowner is going out. He's finding men. He's hiring men to work in his vineyard throughout the day. And so far, this is a really easy picture to imagine in our mind. It's really easy picture to go, okay, let me insert myself in the story. I could see this happen. I understand what's going on. There's nothing really convoluted or difficult to understand until we get to this word found. He went out and found still others standing around. Now, the original Greek word is better translated here as find. So at first glance, you go, well, it's kind of, you know, you're just kind of playing on words here, Andy. What does it really mean? It doesn't seem like it's a big part of the story, but it is different. So the reality is when you found, like, oh, look what I found. It's like sometimes it's happen chance. Like, I wasn't really planning on finding this, but I did. But when you go out to find something, you go out there with purpose. So yesterday, after the bike rodeo, long day of serving, we had to finish up our Haiti packing. So we went to Walmart to finish up our packing. Now, we didn't walk into Walmart and going, well, what are you looking for? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to walk around these aisles until I see something that goes, that looks like something we could use. I mean, we went in there with a purpose. We knew exactly what we needed. We knew exactly what we needed to find to complete our packing list. It wasn't aimlessly walking around. And we do this in life. Like when you graduate high school, when you graduate college, you go out to find a job. You don't just sit on your couch and go, wow, there's one that kind of fell on my lap. Look what I found. And we'll say things like this, like, I need to find a job. I have to find a car. I need to find something to eat. I need to find a way to make more money. I'd love to find a spouse. We say language like this. We understand this. We do this. We know what we need. We know what we want, and we go out looking for it. The landowner in this story didn't just happen to walk around and go, look what I found. I found a bunch of guys standing around. He went out to find people to work in his vineyard. And the reality in life, we could build a whole message on this one little point, is we often find what we're looking for. You want to find the negative in life? You will find it. You want to find the positive things in life? You'll find it. You want to find happiness? You'll look for it. You want to be comparing and find all this, I deserve, I'm owed, we'll find that too. Let's read on. Because no one has hired us. What are you guys standing here for? They replied, no one has hired us, they answered. So he said to them, the landowner said, you also go work in my vineyard. The landowner finds what he's looking for and invites them to go work in his vineyard. Now, it's 5 o'clock in the evening. Most of us in our world, and even in this culture, we're about done with work at 5 o'clock. These guys are just starting their day. These other guys who started really, really early, they've been working this whole day. These guys have just started. Instead of wrapping up work, they're starting work. The story continues. When evening came, work is done. We don't know what time it is. We just know it's evening. The owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. So those that came last get paid first. The landowner instructs the foreman to pay those in that order. So if you were there first, you're going to wait to the very end to get paid. This reminds me of several years ago. I used to work at a lawn care company. I didn't mow grass. I treated, fertilized, and weed control and those kind of things. We were doing this. It was a Saturday. And so we were doing this, hey, come in a little early, about 12, 1 o'clock. We're going to have a big luncheon, you know, big corporate branch lunch. So we get there. We're doing our paperwork, the production crew. So it's made up of office people, of salespeople, production crew, managers. And we're getting all everything ready. Lunch comes, and the branch manager says, hey, the sales are going to eat first, then the office people, and then the production people. I don't know why to this day. Like, why didn't we just all eat together? That seemed to make more sense. But for whatever reason, they decided this is the way we were going to go. I happened to be in the production manager's office, and you could hear out in the production room, which is just right outside this door, everybody's kind of doing their paperwork, several guys start to say, first one's in, last one's to eat. That's what you hear. The branch manager happened to hear this same kind of comment, and he came in. Man, he was fired up. He went right into that production manager's office, said some colorful words that I really can't repeat here in church, and he was like, you need to go out there and talk to these guys because I'm about to lose it. So it just kind of stuck with me. But I remember that comment so clearly, first ones here, last ones to eat. So imagine you've worked all day. Insert yourself in the story. You're the first ones hired. I come in at the very end and work. And they go, hey, we'll go ahead and start. We're going to start with Andy. Andy, you're going to get your money first. Imagine what you're thinking. What's going through your mind? Listen to how the story paints the picture. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each one received a denarius. Did you catch it? The same exact pay that he offered the very first workers of the day. A day's wage. We don't know how long he worked, but we know he came in at later, 5 in the afternoon, and he receives the same pay as the first people. Let's read on. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. Seems logical, right? Like you're the first ones hired, you hear, oh, they got paid what we were offered, we must be getting paid more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. So they had agreed to a payment. They've worked all day. They see the guy that was in here last, or the guys that were in here last, they get paid what they were offered, and they began to grumble. This isn't really unusual when we insert ourselves in the story. I'm guessing likely a lot of us are grumbling at this point. Like, I've busted my tail all day, and here they are getting what I was paid. Now, we can paint this picture a lot of different ways, and it doesn't even have to be pet. For instance, imagine you're a volunteer somewhere. You volunteered from the very beginning. You're volunteering all summer long. Say you're doing summer to serve, and at the end, let's say we do a big party, and the one guy or the people that just served on one of those times, we come up and we celebrate the whole team. We don't really recognize anybody. Now, you didn't think this at first, but if you're the one that's like busted your tail, you thought, well, maybe Andy will just mention my name. Hey, and we want to thank this person for all the work that they've done to help us make all of these things happen. But we don't. We just celebrate the team. I mean, can you picture that? Maybe it's at work. Like, you've been working on this work project really, really hard. Somebody gets hired in late. They come to the table. They don't really produce a whole lot of ideas. They don't actually do a whole lot of work. But when it comes time to recognize the team for the project, you expect, as the leader who's done the most work, like, well, and I really want to give a special thanks to Bill, who led this project. But they don't. They just, everybody on the team. And you feel a little slighted. Maybe it's like you have people over at your house. You've busted your tail to work and clean the inside. It's immaculate. Maybe it's your husband or your wife, depending on what those roles are. They go out and mow the grass 5 minutes before people get there, and everybody that comes in is like, man, your grass looks great. But nobody says anything about the cleanliness of the house. And you find yourself like, you're resenting, like, where's my praise? How come I didn't get the accolades? Why are they always talking about them? Maybe it's a team you're part of. Whether it's school, it's extracurricular, you're like the MVP, you're one of the best players, you start, you're the one that kind of keeps the morale up. You have people that kind of sit the bench, they don't play a whole lot. You guys go further than everybody expected. When it comes time to celebrate the team, that's exactly what they do. They celebrate the team. And they don't say anything about that one person or those two or three people that do the most work as the team effort. And you find yourself grumbling a little bit. You find, like, I was just slighted. You didn't feel like you got what you deserved. So we can start to put ourselves in this story and go, well, I don't know if I would do that in that context, but we're doing it somewhere. So where are we grumbling in our lives? Where do you find yourself going, I was owed, I deserved, I'm entitled to? Listen to the story as it continues. When they received it, their denarius, they began to grumble against the landowner, which we've just heard. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour. That's it, they said. And you have made them equal to us, and we have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. These are legitimate grumblings. Like, yesterday was warm. I kept telling people that were serving, like, now add about 10 or 15 degrees and you're in Haiti. That's how hot it is. So imagine that's the heat of the day. These people come in, they work 1 hour, and they get paid the same. And here's the reality. Lots of vineyards. So imagine it's a warehouse. Put it in our context. There's a lot of different ways that you would work in a warehouse. Every kind of owner would have their own way of doing things. So by the time these people who worked 1 hour figured out that system from that landowner, their time was up. Like, bing, we're off. So they hadn't worked even that hard because they were learning the system and how that landowner wanted things. So by the time they caught on, it was time to leave. And yet, they get paid the exact same amount. Not only that, they're the first ones paid. They barely work, they're barely sweating, they're barely dirty, they get the exact same pay. And then we, in our world, start to say things or do things, and maybe it shows up like this. Why did she get to make that decision? I've been here longer than she has. I can't believe they get to go on that trip. I'm the one who trained them. Can you believe? I mean, if it wasn't for me, they would have never had that problem solved. I came up with the idea. That solved the problem. They got the bonus. I didn't get anything. I don't understand why things are the way they are. Why did I not get mentioned? I'm the one who helped the most. I can't believe they get paid when I'm the one that does all the work. I do all the work. The manager, the owner gets all the accolades. Where do you do this in your life? Where do you find yourself? Maybe it's even in your family. Like, man, I'm the one that busts my tail all the time to make sure the family has everything they need. Nobody ever says thank you. Dad comes in or mom comes in. They're the fun one. They get, hey, well, dad's great or mom's awesome. Where's mine? Where's my love? Where's my appreciation? Where's this showing up in your life? Is it work? Is it in relationships? How come they got better relationships than I do? Why do they like him better than they do me? Where's that showing up? Where's the grumbling happening? That's what's happening in this story. I'm deserved. I'm owed. I should. The story continues. You hear the reply from the landowner. He hears the grumbling, but he answered one of them. I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? And now when we hear this, we go, that does make sense. Like, we can comprehend that in our mind. It is his money. I did agree to that. But did you catch the first four or five words of that verse? It says, but he answered one of them. He didn't address the whole crowd. He talked to one person. He didn't respond to the group, but to one man. The generosity, the mercy, the grace and love of the landowner. Remember, this is a picture of heaven. Of Jesus is a personal decision. To the one person. It isn't about going along with the crowd. It isn't about convincing the crowd. It's about making that individual, personal decision to follow Jesus with our own lives. This story, this parable, this truth is about heaven. And heaven will be filled with people who got in at the last second. The days, the closing moments of their lives, they've said yes to Jesus. And you know what they're going to get? The exact same reception. The exact same excitement. The exact same party in heaven when they made their decision as when we made ours, or when they made theirs, whether it was 5 years ago, 15 years ago, or 50 years ago. So this story that's about heaven is challenging on many ways, but I want to talk about just two of them quickly as we close. It's in our grumbling and in our timing. Our grumbling and our timing. Our grumbling tells us, where we're grumbling, tells us we believe we deserve something we can never earn, which is God's favor. We cannot earn it. You cannot serve every week. You can't pray enough. You can't read enough. You can't fast enough to earn God's love, his mercy, or his grace. We are still sinners. And you know what the Bible says is the penalty of a sin? It's death. That is our penalty. That's what we've earned. That's what we deserve. But by God's grace and by his mercy, he took on our sin. He defeated death. He defeated sin, and he rose again. Jesus restores what was lost in the garden. He restores Israel that wandered. He restores our humanity in him. He restores our relationship with him. That's the decision. That's where we can control our timing. We can make the decision today. Maybe you've said, I've been a follower forever. Well, let's look where you are today and when you've made that decision, and is there progress in your life? Are you making strides to be more and more like Jesus? Where are you grumbling in your life? Where are you comparing? Where are you saying, I've been owed, I deserve, I should have, they shouldn't have in your life? That's the grumbling. We can control that too. We can repent and say, God, I don't want to do this. This is not who I want to be. This is not how I want to live. And trust me, that doesn't mean it's gone forever. Maybe for some of you, that's not been my reality. That's not been my story. I still walk around, and it's very easy for me to go, I wish I had. How come I don't? How come we don't? We should be. They shouldn't be. And when I do, when I'm there long enough, God, through His Holy Spirit, will speak to me and go, why are you comparing? Why don't you just enjoy what I've given you? What if you just walked in every blessing that I've poured out for you, and you lived in that realm? Because I want to do something in you that's unique, that's different, that's for you. You wouldn't do well when you had all those other things. That's not going to bring you the joy you think it will. Some of us, this timing idea, we may let this time slide, because the one thing we can't control in timing is when our time is done. We have no idea when that day is going to come. This isn't about making a decision out of fear. It's about making a decision out of love. We've all heard stories of, you know, tragic things that have happened to people that we love, that we care about. And most of us think, that's terrible. That's not going to happen to me. The reality is, most of us live with tomorrow promised. I already know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know what my day's out for. But if we knew tomorrow was our last day, I'm guessing we'd all live life a little differently. We can't control that timing, but we can control the timing of saying yes to Jesus. It's not too late, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are, no matter where you're going, to say yes to the landowner, which is Jesus. This is the picture that Jesus is painting for everybody that's listening. He's saying, this is what heaven is like. Don't get caught up on all the work. That's not even what I'm talking about. You're worried about the work, maybe. You're worried about what's fair. They shouldn't get the same reception as I do. If I've worked all day, my whole life, for Jesus, why does that person, in the closing moments of their life, get the same reception? Because, are we going to be envious? Are we going to be angry? Are we going to be jealous because of God's generosity? We've got to live our whole life with Jesus. They've actually missed out. They got to spend their moments with Jesus. Imagine how much more impactful God could have been in their life and through their life had they said yes a little earlier. I'm guessing most of us, a lot of us, want to live our lives without grumbling. I'm guessing in about 5 or 6 days, a lot of the grumblings us as the team have, 13 of us, as we start to see and experience, smell, touch, feel, see Haiti for what it is. There's a reason it's one of the poorest countries in the world. We're going to all of a sudden go, boy, those things that I thought were important aren't nearly as important as I thought they were. Their struggles aren't my struggles. I'm going to leave here in a few minutes after we're done, and we're going to probably argue about where we're going to eat for lunch. How many else is going to do that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to eat there. We ate there last time. And then wherever we go, we're not all going to eat our food. We're going to throw a lot of it away. That's not Haiti. That's not their perspective. So the things we think about, the things we argue about, our perspective gets skewed. We think it's still not fair. I can't go there. I don't even like anything there. That's not fair. Eh, we're missing the point. I think we're so spoiled. I think it becomes a little harder for us sometimes to feel and see the need for Jesus because we're so comfortable in life. What if we lived our lives so worried, so concerned about what God had for us, as opposed to what God's doing in her life or his life or their life and that church? And we just worried about, God, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me tomorrow? What do you want to do in me? What do you want to say to me? I tell you, when we start to ask those questions, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, who lives in us, he will speak to us. He will move in us. What if we decided today Today is the day that I either make the decision for the first time, or today is the day I put the stake in the ground and say, I am going to live my life to the best of my ability to invite God and Jesus into my life first and see what happens. Do that first. Quit the grumbling. Take advantage of the timing that you can control, which is the decision for Jesus. When you walked in, as Andy mentioned earlier, you should have received a program, and in it you'll find a Connect card. If you didn't grab one of those, in the seat backs in front of you, you're going to see Connect cards. Grab those, fill out in the front what you're comfortable with. We believe that when you fill this out, you're saying, God, I'm ready for a next step. I've prepared myself to take a step this morning. That's why we do this. So in a few minutes, they're going to take up our offering. You're going to be able to drop this in the bucket when it goes by. If you have prayer requests or any question you have, simply write down on the back of your Connect card and drop it in the offering. But we offer next steps. We believe every Sunday should impact our Mondays. And if they don't, we need to really refocus and go, why are we doing what we do? Because Jesus can speak. Jesus can move. So we're going to list a couple of next steps. You may have one that's not even listed. Write that on there. I pray over these every single week. It's an honor to do so, so you can write your own next step. But maybe you have one of ours. One of the first next steps almost every week is accept Christ for the first time. This is the timing we can control. It's really the only timing we can control, is when we say yes to Jesus. Because Jesus, in his vineyard in heaven, is looking to find people that say yes to him. He's not just here going, well, I wonder if somebody's going to find me today. He's not hiding. It's not peekaboo. He's looking to find you and just waiting for you to say, I'm here. I say yes to you. I trust you. I believe in you. I'm not worried about what they have and what I don't have. I'm going to say yes to what you have for me. And if you say yes, there's some gifts in the back by the coffee mugs. There's a book that says The Next Step. These are free to anybody. Grab one of these. This helps you about reading the Bible, how to pray, fasting, all that. You just read what pertinent to you, and there's Bibles, free Bibles to anybody that needs one or anybody that wants one in the back. You don't need to fill something out. You can just grab one on your way out. But write that on there, that you've made that decision. We're going to be doing baptisms at the end of this month. Be honored to celebrate that decision with you. The second next step is ask Jesus to help with your grumbling. If this morning you've heard something and you're like, I kind of do that. I do grumble. I do feel this sense of entitlement. I don't want to be that. I don't want to live like that. Then this is the perfect time to just say, God, I'm sorry. That's not who I want to be. I know that's not who you want me to be. Ask Jesus to help with all the grumblings, all the comparison, all the entitlement that you have. And the third one is just attend as much as possible the next few weeks. Got a few more weeks of this series, and I'm just confident in Jesus. Not confident necessarily in what I do, but I'm confident in what he does through me. That I believe if you hear more and more stories about Jesus, you're going to have more and more questions you've never had about Jesus. And when you start to say yes to Jesus, he's going to start moving in your life. Not because we're great, but because he is. So just attend. Watch what happens. See what he does. They're going to go ahead and take up our offering. If you want to drop your Connect cards in there, that would be great. We're going to have prayer teams up here on the side. We'd be honored to pray for anything that's going on. If you have grumblings that you no longer want to have, if you said yes to Jesus, if you've got some big decision, if you've got nothing, you're just like, just pray a blessing over me. We'd be honored to pray for you. We have communion tables, two in the front, one in the back. The crackers represents Jesus' body. The juice represents Jesus' blood that was shed. So when we take communion, it's not just a reminder that his body was broken and his blood was shed on the cross for our sins and for our lives. It's a reminder that we're saying, yes, Jesus, yes, I want what you have for me. I want to live my life for you. That's why we do communion. You come up individually, come up as a couple, come up as a family or as a small group. You don't have to come up at all. There's no pressure, but it's available to you. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your picture that you paint, that this is what heaven is like. And at the end, you kind of drop it all on us and go, don't I have the right to be generous? Are you angry because of my generosity? And God, when I look at that personally in the mirror, I find that the jealousy that I carry, the envy that I have, the comparisons that I make, the grumblings that I speak, God, they're all from this ugly place that I still need to be cleansed from. And so this morning, I would ask that you come by the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you speak to each and every one of us? Everybody listening, God, would you help us to recognize and to see our grumblings for what they are? And then, God, in your gracious mercy and your love, God, would you cleanse us in the only way that you can? Would you speak to us, each one individually, and let us know how you see us? And just give us a glimpse this morning, through the power of your Holy Spirit, of what you have for us, what you want to do in us, through your generous heart, because of your mercy and of your grace. God, we love you. Thank you for what you're about to do in us and what you will certainly do through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.